Troy Cassadaly, Shadows on the Hill. You're welcome, Tariana.
Thank you.
I know that one was in your head for a little bit. Another thing in our head and that we've been looking for, not particularly in day three lockdown, but we want to make sure we're going to be okay. And for all you heard here first, is Dr. Jono's on the line. How are you going, mate? Good morning.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, Tari. Morning, Jarrell. How you going?
It's super important we talk to you because Jarrell and I think we're doctors. We were given all this advice earlier and we're like, we really need to get some professional advice.
Well, Dr. Jono, actually, the reason why I think I'm a doctor, because I've heard Dr. Dre is actually not a doctor. I thought he was. the rapper, so he's fooled a lot of people for a long time, mate. So we've come to the best of the best, mate. Firstly, any new cases overnight, and how are we looking for today? I'm sure a lot of the people want to know, and I'm not saying that you have all the answers, but how are we looking?
No pressure.
Yeah, thanks. So we'll still be waiting for the cases from sort of overnight, but. In terms of yesterday, we saw two new cases in Queensland. One was connected to that Alpha strain cluster, and then the second one was a new kind of cluster, I suppose, or a new case. So we actually got zero cases from, really those other Delta strain clusters that we were worried about, particularly the one from the hospital worker. So, which is pretty amazing. That's good news. Across the country, I think there were a bunch of donut days across, but I think maybe the Territory had one more, but South Australia didn't have any when they thought they were a bit worried. So I guess everyone's sort of watching that. New South Wales is probably the spot that still got, I think, 24 community acquired cases. So that's probably the place to look out for, I reckon, at the moment. But Queensland, I think, again, it's probably close to as good as we could have hoped for from the current clusters. So I think that puts us in as good a position as we can be leading into today, really. So, they won't make any announcement in terms of lockdown until they know the numbers from today.
Yep. Can I ask, and probably a lot of people are asking as well, and you might have been asked this before, but what's the difference between these cases, like the Delta one, the potency? What's for the people that don't know, what are the difference between them?
Yeah, sure. So I suppose we compare to the initial strains that was circulating last year and these newer ones which have developed. So the Alpha is the old name for that, is the UK strain. That's probably what people are familiar with. They've kind of renamed them to this, using the Greek, just so that, I guess, countries don't get labelled fault or something. So Alpha, and remember back a few months, we actually went into lockdown just because of one or two cases of the UK variant because that was new to Australia and we're quite worried about it. And they initially thought it might have been something like 60 or 70% more infectious. That's probably dropped back to under 50%, maybe 30, 40% more infectious than the previous. So what that means is instead of, say, it might transmit, the old version transmit to two people, this would transmit to three people.
Okay.
So 50% extra. Now, the Delta variant is more potent than that even, again. So maybe more like if two people got infected, it might be more like closer to four people get infected with the Delta variant from one case. And obviously there's a lot of factors that go into that. The better isolated people are in quarantine and doing all the hand hygiene, all that kind of stuff, then the less you're going to transmit it. But you're kind of looking at the general rule about how that will work.
How does the Delta, how has it evolved? Like honest question, like how has this evolved from, being just a normal strain? How does a virus like this evolve into being, it's basically leveling up, like how does it get how does it get to there?
So look, viruses change. They change all the time. So every time they reproduce, a little bit can change, and I think that's insignificant, or it actually makes them less likely to survive, and they're more likely to die off. But some of the changes lead to enough change on the surface of the virus or something about it that allows it to get into cells more quickly or easily. Yep. Sometimes it makes you sicker. Sometimes it will do one or the other and not both. So it can make you sicker but not as transmissible. Often that kind of thing happens. But the big message from that is the more it reproduces, the more this will happen. And this was predicted early in the pandemic, that if we let this thing get out of control, not only will lots of people die and our hospitals overrun, but we allow for these variants to develop, and then it's harder to manage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that's kind of one of the important arguments about not just controlling it locally in Australia, but it's the global effort to get it under control so that because that will impact us as well. Doesn't mean, not only our borders you can't keep closed forever, but also will the vaccines be effective if we don't kind of knock on the head these variants?
Interesting. Now, there's a national cabinet meeting this morning about vaccines and sort of the numbers that we're going to need to be able to stop lockdowns.
Just stop lockdowns.
What would you think that we're aiming for?
Look, anything is good. Anywhere over 50% of people vaccinated is going to be very helpful. But I think you really want closer to the 70, 80% mark of people vaccinated. And you've got to remember that at the moment we're not doing kids, so that makes it a bit more complicated. I guess when
take up a huge population, children would as well.
Exactly. So that makes it a bit tricky. And obviously kids don't get nearly as sick as adults do, but they're a vector of transmission, especially some of these newer variants that sort of shown that kids can transmit. So that, but I think we've got to kind of press on and get as many adults vaccinated so that when the studies are safe for kids and we work out that that's a good idea to do, that we're able to kind of transfer and start vaccinating the kids and get them done as well.
Now, we were watching the news this morning as well. Also, I guess a question that's on a lot of people's minds is this new case that came out of the international airport. Is this a big concern to the health industry, or like, would you say that that's a concern that might not let us out of lockdown this afternoon?
I don't think so. I mean, we don't know what strain that is. I guess they're presuming it's Delta until we know otherwise. It does. I didn't see a lot of circumstances surrounding that came out yesterday. So I think, and I imagine they've been doing interviews and kind of looking into that to see how much contacts. It was receptionist or air hostess, I believe, at the airport. So it'll be a lot of what they sort of find with those investigations. So, I'm not really sure. I suspect that won't make as much difference unless something unexpected comes out of some of that investigation.
And one more thing from me on top of that. In terms of this genome sequencing and finding out which variant it is, how does that work? Because this is seems real complicated to me.
I'm probably not the right person to ask that, really. I do know that they do need a decent amount of sort of virus particles from the sample to be able to do that. Tells me it's a more complicated test at the lab. But basically they're doing kind of more in-depth genetics studies on these to kind of which we can do for other reasons as well for different conditions that we're looking at. But basically they can kind of really look at the virus a lot more closely and see the exact sort of sequence of it. And then that allows you to kind of compare.
Okay, well, thank you.
Well, Dr. Jono, we got two questions come in through our lines, and people just wanted to know, if you have a vaccination, do you need a mask? And the other one is, how can we improve our immune system?
Okay, so first question, if you've been vaccinated, need a mask? Yes, the vaccines do appear to help transmission a lot, but they're not 100%. So, if we want to, really make sure that we're not passing things on. And in the end, the vaccines, mostly they help the person who's been vaccinated not get really sick and die from COVID.
Doesn't help it could transmit.
It may or may not help the transmission. It does to some degree, but I guess we want as much protection as possible. Second, how do you improve your immune system? There's a lot of things you can do. There's a lot not known about the immune system. It's a kind of probably one of the things that's quite tricky about our bodies. But look, I think the basic things that are always going to work is probably the physical and emotional, mental well-being, sort of all of those aspects. So from a physical point of view, it's eating healthy, exercising regularly, being at a having your weight at a regular weight or getting close to that as you can, and exercise what you can as well. I know people can't do everything, but, swimming, walking, bike riding, whatever you can do, even just sort of static weights and moving around. And then, your mental health, I think that's really has important, an impact on your immune system as well. So you're looking after your emotional well-being through connection and getting help where you need it. So there's a bunch of other things and that people will look at in terms of supplements and all of that. No, it's probably a lot to get into, and then not as straightforward. But then there's vaccinations, of course, and I guess the protecting yourself by how much contact you have, and being careful with each other in terms of passing things on. Because I think once you've got one sickness, that can make you more susceptible. So looking after your chronic illnesses as well, really important.
Dr. Jonathan, thank you so much again for joining us this morning, mate. You enjoy your Friday, and hopefully this evening. Yeah, hold our breath this afternoon. So hopefully we're out of lockdown. You heard it here first again.
Dr. John, just if people do want to listen into the press conference this morning, do you know what time that is?
I'm not sure if they've given a time, but it's usually 10:30, 11.
Yeah.
I think we should know. Certainly by lunchtime, we should have an idea what's happening.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Enjoy your weekend.
Have a great day.
See you later, mate.
I know you're leaving. I see the signs. You're gonna walk out on this heart of mine. You'll never call me. You'll never write. You made your mind up and you're gone tonight. If some rainy day you're all alone, you feel like talking, you can lock me home at www.memory. I'll be waiting for you patiently. If you feel the need, just click on me at www.memory. Keyboard and wires. No, you won't have to touch me or even take my hand. Just slide your little mouse around until you see it land at www.memory. I'll be waiting for you patiently. If you feel the need, just click on me www.memory. If you feel like love, just click on me at www.memory.
Seats R Us have three warehouses, chock-a-block full of stock, no waiting. Seatsrus.com.au.
Brisbane City Council's Indigenous Art Program has transformed Brisbane streets, spaces and laneways into an exhibition of Aboriginal artworks. The Hyperlocal Exhibition celebrates Brisbane's internationally renowned Aboriginal artists in Council's Outdoor Gallery. Complementing the exhibition is an exciting program of tours, talks and workshops for both children and adults. Check out the full program at brisbane.qld.gov.au and search Indigenous Art Program. The Indigenous Art Program is on now to July 31. Station sponsor.
I can still shut down the party. I can hang with anybody. I can drink whiskey. Scotch on the rocks, and I'm fine, I'm fine. But when I taste